Welcome to Steadfast Hope. What a privilege it is for Kent and me to be able to come to you with this devotion. I'm Steve Lawson. This is Kent Steinbeck. And we're coming to you from a very special place. It's called Herb's House. It's a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. And we are looking today at John 17, verse 10. The title of this is Jesus Glorified. And so John 17, verse 10, Jesus is praying to the Father the night before his crucifixion. And we pick this up, Kent, in the middle of this extraordinary prayer. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. So, Kent, it's amazing how Jesus, in just a few words, can pack so much truth and really profound truth and insight into just these few words. And so as Jesus prayed, he begins by saying, all things that are mine are yours. And these all things refer to those who were chosen by the Father before the foundation of the world. We refer to them as the elect. They are the given ones, those whom the Father has given to me. And he says, all things that are mine are yours. And so that's very interesting, Kent. All that who comprise the people of God that belong to the Father are exactly the same as those who belong to the Son. And those who belong to the Son are exactly the same as those who belong to the Father. So there's no differentiation between who are those whom the Father possesses and who are those whom the Son possesses. And they are of one mind and of one heart and one saving enterprise. They are united in their saving efforts. And Jesus says, those who are mine are yours, and those who are yours are mine. So we know who the fathers are. Those are the ones whom the Father chose from before the foundation of the world. And he has given them to the Son, and so we know exactly who they are. They're the same ones whom the Father chose. He's now given to the Son, and he has sent the Son now into this world in order to die for them and to call them out of the world into saving a relationship with himself. So these given ones are the Lord's sheep. They are the Lord's bride, his chosen bride. They are his body, which is the true church. And so he says, I have been glorified in them. That's a strong statement as well. In other words, this is in anticipation of the next day when Jesus will die upon the cross. Jesus will be glorified through his death in them, in that his blood will wash them clean and make them pure and spotless. It will be his righteousness that will clothe them such that they will be presented faultless before the throne of God. This is what it means that I have been glorified in them, that the glory of the Son will be put on display in them, not in the world, but in these chosen ones. These are the ones that will bring glory to the Son, and that he will be glorified in them. So can't we see it? It's a tight circle here. There is the larger circle of the whole world, and there is an inner concentric circle of those who are the chosen. These are the few who are on the narrow path leading to life. The larger circle are the many who are on the broad road headed for destruction. And Jesus has authority over both groups. He says in verse 2, I have authority over the whole world, and I have authority over these given ones. But it is these given ones that he narrows his focus on in this prayer to make intercession for them. And not just for them, but for you and me, Kent, as we have been brought to the place of repentance and faith by the Lord. So I know that you've got some good questions that are circling.
I think you need to keep going.
And, keep going. In your mind, well, I could, but I've got to pay union dues to you, so I need to bring you in for this.
Well, this is so huge because we see our Creator, who is God, our Savior, who is Jesus. No man ever in the history of the world spoke words like this. So for anybody listening and everybody listening, this is the bottom line of the bottom line. This is what our whole life revolves around.
Yeah.
Getting right with God and our Savior.
Yeah.
I think it points to the unity. I'd like for you to speak about this because so many false religions break up at the Trinity and the unity of God the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I'd like for you to speak to that.
Would
about
love to.
How this is so critical for us to understand this, our Creator and our Savior.
Yeah. Well, Kent, every false religion collapses at this point. And it's more than just breaking up the unity. They flat deny the Trinity.
Jesus was created.
Yeah, Jesus was a created being, like you and I are created being. He was the Son of God, like you and I are sons of God. Yeah. And all kinds of really heresy is what that is. And then deny the deity of the Holy Spirit as well. So the doctrine of the Trinity, just very succinctly, is that there is only one God. Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God. Second, there are three persons who are identified as God. They are co-equal and co-eternal within the Trinity. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they share the same essence. They share the same attributes. They share the same will. They share the same mission. They are one. And that is why when we baptize in the name, singular, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because all three work together really as one Savior. God the Father is a Savior. God the Son is a Savior. God the Holy Spirit is a Savior. They each have their role. They each have their part in saving sinners. God the Father chose his elect. God the Father designed the gospel. God the Father has sent the Son and the Spirit into this world. God the Son is a Savior. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless and perfect life, died upon the cross, bearing the sins of his people, was buried, raised on the third day, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is the Savior of the world, of all sinners within the world who are saved. John 4:42. God the Holy Spirit is also a Savior, in that he is the one who convicts of sin. He is the one who draws to Christ. He is the one who regenerates and gives life, gives the gift of repentance and faith, seals them in Christ, and indwells them, gifts them with spiritual gifts, and now leads them in their Christian life. So, Kent, just to give as simple of an answer as possible, that is the Christian and really the biblical view of the Trinity. And any denial of what we just walked through is really a denial of the gospel. It's a denial of saving truth. It is to be in a cult or to be in a heresy.
Yeah. And Steve, when you just look at this, just at the beginning of what you said, how can any human being look anywhere else for salvation and justify it in any way? It doesn't even compare to this. It doesn't hold up. It's not even, it's foolishness.
It is foolishness. And it's not Jesus and everything we bring to the table gets us through the narrow gate. It's Jesus and Jesus only. Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no other name, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved.
Yeah. the foolishness is about us adding, trying to add something to this work.
Try to add baptism, try to add good works, try to add charity, try to add morality, try to add.
It's the highest insult we could ever give to.
I mean, Jesus isn't good enough to save you.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't do enough to save you.
God's plan.
Like, Jesus needs you now to complete the deal. Doesn't work that way, does it?
Doesn't.
So, John 17:10, there it is.
That's huge.
What a great verse. And I pray that as you live your Christian life today, that you will live for the glory of God the Son. Every blessing to you in His glorious name.